To the Blue Ridge Commuter Net, your net control line is KJ4WZM. My name is Daniel, and my location is Traveler's Rest. In the interest of promotion of amateur radio, this net is called nightly at 9 p.m. In the event of an emergency, this net will be activated. Located atop Caesar's Head Mountain, about 2 miles south of the North Carolina-South Carolina border near Highway 276. The repeater is at an elevation of 3,500 feet. This repeater is unoperated by the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society, and all amateurs licensed to operate on the frequency are invited to check in. Bulletins or announcements for the net, please call KJ4WZM. Again, with recognizing the pre-net check-ins. So, net would like to recognize W4FCM, that's Fred and Traveler's Rest, and for IEI, Isla and Traveler's Rest, KW4TS, Jim and Pelzer, K4ROW, Richard and Greenville, K4XMR, Bell and Prosperity, K4LDI, Andy Table Rock, KR4RAX, Jim and Dacusville, KJ4UHF, Jack and Greenville, W4IOE, Sid and Fletcher, KF4RJN, John Brown Summit, K4OSH, Pat and Malden, KA5WLL, Leroy and Taylors, K4OIM, Alt and Emmett, KG4WNP, Landon and Dacusville, W2AMD, Andrew and Simpsonville, KC4W, Bill and Greenville, and KB2BYQ, Dave and Easley. Check-ins, check-in 18, including myself, so let's see. I'll go ahead and call for Echolink stations next. Echolink stations only. If you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2 meter net, call KJ4WZM.
KJ4WZM, please check in Whiskey 4 Delta Juliet Whiskey, W4DJW, Dave and Greer, negative, negative. Thanks for calling that tonight, Daniel.
W4DJW. That is Dave and Greer, and by telephone relay, I have KO4HKX. That is Patrick and Penrose. This is KJ4WZN now. Now beginning the formal portion of the net. Hold on 1 second. Call, name, location, signal your intent to remain on the net for the RAG 2 portion. Tonight we'll begin with stations with a suffix of your call, U through Z. Uniform through Zulu, if you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2 meter net, call KJ4WZM. Uniform through Zulu, if you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2 meter net, call KJ4WZM. I'll want another try later on. I'll go ahead up to Alpha through Delta now. A through D, if you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2 meter net, call KJ4WZM.
WZM. Daniel, please check in. Kilo, Kilo 4, Delta Mac Whiskey, Rick, and my wife, Kilo, Kilo 4, Oscar, November Oscar, Lorena, and my daughter via telephone relay, Kilo Mike 4, Mike Oscar, Quebec, Michelle, we're all in Piedmont, and we'll all be negative and negative.
ZM. ZM. Call everyone on the net. Please check in Kilo Bravo 4, Charlie Bravo Alpha, David and Taylor's, negative and negative.
AZM. Whiskey 4, Charlie Tango Whiskey, W4CTW, this is Tyler and Taylor's, and I'll be negative and negative.
AZM. Please check in K1CJW. It's Kilo 1, Charlie, Juliet, Whiskey. My name is Roland. We live in Pickens, negative, negative. And a good evening to all.
For WZM. And Daniel, please check in. Kilo, Mike, 4, Bravo, Lima, Hotel, KM4BLH. The name here is Kurt, Charlie Uniform, we're on Mu Tango, QTH Greenville. I'll be negative and negative.
KK4DMW, that's Rick. KK4ONO is wife Lorena, and KM4MFQ is daughter Michelle. They're all at home in Piedmont tonight. Next up, I've got KB4CBA. That is David and Taylor's, I believe it was, and W4CTW, Tyler and Taylor's. K1CJW, Roland and Pickens, and KM4BLH, Kurt in Greenville. Any other stations, A through D, please check in. And if you'd like to check in, call KJ4WZM.
4WZM. And KO4CES. This is Andrew and Emma, and I'll be in and out tonight.
K4CEF, that's Andrew and Emma. Okay, we'll go ahead and move up to E3H now. Echo Through Hotel, if you'd like to check in, call KJ4WZM.
4WZM. Please check in. Kilo Charlie 4, Echo Zulu November, KC4 easing in, Harry and Candler, and I'll stick around and aggravate you a little bit tonight.
KJ4WZM. Hello everyone on the net. This is November 4, Hotel Charlie, N4HHC, Warren, and Taylor's negative and negative tonight.
It's KC4EZM. That's my buddy Harry over there in Candler. And Harry, I got you marked down for comments. Next up, I got N4HHC. That's Warren and Taylor's. And my telephone relay, KO4WWZ. That is Chandler and Easley. Any other stations, E through H. Echo Through Hotel. If you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call KJ4WZM. Echo Through L. India Through Lima. If you'd like to check in, call KJ4WZM.
For WZM. Kilo 4, Juliet Foxtrot Oscar, and I'm James, and I'm up here on this mountain, Tuxedo, North Carolina. Be negative and negative. Saying 73s for each one of you.
KK4JFO, that's James up on the mountain in Tuxedo. Thanks for checking in with me tonight, James. I hope you're doing well. Any other stations, I through L, India through Lima, call KJ4WZM. Papa, M through P, if you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KJ4WZM.
WZM. Oscar 4, November Uniform Echo, KO4NUE. Name is Chad, QTH, Campobello, South Carolina. Please also check in my wife, Kilo Oscar 4, Romeo Yankee Papa, KO4RYP. QTH is also Campobello. And thank you for calling the net tonight, Daniel.
Recognize KO4NUE, that is Chad, and KO4RYP, his wife Anna. They're at home in Campobello tonight. Thank you all for checking in with me. Any other stations? Mike through Papa. N through P, if you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call KJ4WZM.
Net control, please check in Kilo Oscar 4, Papa X-ray Bravo, Lloyd in Spencerville, KO4DXP. I mean negative and negative, but listening.
KO4PXB, that is Lloyd in Simpsonville. We'll go ahead up to the patient group. Quebec through Tango, Q2T, if you'd like. QLG, Chris and Liberty, and KI4THV, Danny and Traveler's Rest. We'll go ahead and open it all the way up through the alphabet now. A through Z, Z through A, call KJ4WZM.
Net control. Please check in and out. Kilo Golf 4, Juliet, India Alpha. KG4JIA, Dennis and Gaffney. Good evening to you all on the net, 73.
ZM. Please check in, Kilo 4 X-ray Bravo. It's K4XB. Name is Tommy. I'm located in southern Greenville County. Be negative and negative. Good evening to you and everyone on net.
Please check in November 4 Delta Juliet Charlie, N4DJC, Jerry and Anderson. I'll be negative and negative tonight. Good evening to everyone on the net.
Control. Whiskey 4 Whiskey, Oscar Zulu. That's W4WOZ. My name's Rod. We're in the land of Oz, and we're negative and negative. Good evening. KI4DOS, Gary. Also K3JOY. That's my pretty little bride Joy. We're at home in Easley. No traffic, no Q tonight. Good evening, Q Daniel, and all on the net.
KG4JIA, Dennis and Gaffney. K4XB, Tommy in southern Kimball County. N4DJC, Jerry and Anderson. W4WOZ, Rob from the land of Laws. KI4DOS, Gary, he brings along K3JOY, his pretty little bride, Miss Joy. They're at home at Easley tonight. Gary, tell Joy we said hello. Any other stations, A through Z, Z through A, call KJ4WZM. And also, if you would like to stick around for comments as well.
Net control. Number 4, Tango Oscar, Mike, Tony, Belton, no traffic, no table.
WZM, please check in N4ZLK. My name is Shane. I'm mobile in Pumpkintown, headed to Cleveland, and no traffic. And I might be here for a comment or two, but I'm not sure. Just check back with me.
Four, Foxtrot Hotel Juliet, Gene and Taylor's negative and negative, over.
November 4, Mike, Foxtrot, this is Max, over, and no comment.
Location one last time, I didn't quite get it.
Fountain
Inn. 14 TLM, that's Tommy and Belton, N4ZLK. Shane, mobile, and Pumpkintown headed towards Cleveland, and Shane, I've got a, I guess I'll mark you down with a little question mark here. To go back to you in a little while and see if you're still around. W4FHJ, Gene and Taylor's, and KN4MMF, that is Max and Fountain Inn. I'll make one last call, A through Z, before I go over to direct you. Call KJ4WZM.
WZM. Check in Kilo Oscar 4, Juliet Kilo Victor, KO4JKB. This is Duncan up in Asheville. Mark me negative and negative.
KO4JKB, that is Duncan in Asheville. Alrighty, that sounds like that does it now for A through Z, so we'll go ahead and secure the formal portion of that. KJ4WZM now securing the formal portion of that with our thanks for checking in. All stations wishing to secure may do so. We'll now begin the RAG2 portion of the net with periodic stops for check-ins between RAG2s. First up tonight, I have KC4EZN. That is Harry. How's your week been, Harry? Anything new? KJ4WZN.
Trying to work a guy in Egypt on FT4. Haven't been successful with that. But anyway, I looked at the clock and it said it was about a minute after 9, and I didn't hear anything. And I thought, Daniel has gone to sleep. forgot to call Annette, and then I didn't hear Dave. And so I looked at the radio to make sure I had it on the right band and noticed that there was this little about a 3-inch separation between the end of the antenna and the back end of the radio. And when I hooked the two of them together, there you were, all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. So I guess I'm going to have to apologize for you. Maybe I need to take a nap more often. So what about that back to you, Daniel?
That's pretty funny, Harry. Let's see. Well, I did real good yesterday. I got to work pretty early. I think I got to work sometime between 6:15 and 6:30 yesterday morning. And then I drove a 13-hour day yesterday, up and down the I-85 all day, mostly sitting there. Partially sitting there and partially screaming at other drivers who were driving stupidly when traffic was actually flowing. That's a whole nother conversation. I had it yesterday. Oh, my goodness. I hated 85 yesterday. It brought out that wanting to fight type energy out of me, and I very rarely have that surface, but yesterday tested my patience on 85. I hated that. So anyways, I made it through unscathed with that little day there. Came home and had a nice little campfire set up and stayed outside until around 12:30 or 1 this morning and then went to bed. So I had a really long day yesterday. And I actually didn't take a nap yesterday. How's that sound? I had all that I did and I didn't fall asleep. And today I didn't take a nap either. Nice improvement there, huh, Harry? KJ4WVM.
I like having an interesting day like that, Daniel. There is an Asian curse that says, may you have interesting times. So I think you had one of those yesterday. And if you made it through all that without a nap, you did a pretty good job. I know I get a little bit frustrated sometimes, and then every now and then I'm probably the source of the frustration. I try not let that happen, but sometimes the situation gets the best of me. So that if you manage to drive that rig up and down 85 without running over somebody, unintentionally, of course, you probably had a pretty good day. KG4WZM, KC4EZM.
Okay, I'll wait. I suppose the worst part of the day was when traffic was actually flowing properly, believe it or not. I had somebody who was messing with my truck, and I was loaded to 78,000 pounds, and they were just playing games with it, and it was very, very frustrating to me. Finally, I got around them, but they played games with the truck for about 25 miles of 85. Ooh. I'm already agitated again thinking about it. Normally, I do pretty good with handling stupidity on the roadway. Normally, it doesn't last for 25 miles, though. It's about 5 or 10 seconds of sheer stupidity, and then they're out of my way, and I don't have to worry about it. But just thinking back to those 25 miles again, I'm still mad about that. At least it's over and done with. Nothing bad happened. But good grief, I had it that day. I'm just glad that everything's over with now, and it's the weekend, so I need to, delete that memory out of my mind.
That's probably a good thing if you can do that. I learned a long time ago, and actually, I was reading an article in a magazine that I got at work. These guys did a study. And basically, they were looking at if you just went with the flow of traffic and, minded your own business and, did all the right things, how long did it take to get from, point A to point B in their study? And then another time, they did the same study except that they zigzagged in and out of traffic and speeded up and slowed down and were generally what you were talking about, and
when they sat down and added all their numbers up, they found out that in that trip, and it was like 25 or 50 miles, it wasn't, you know, down the block, they managed to knock maybe a minute or a minute and a half off of their time. And then they sat down and looked at what it would have cost if they had gotten a speeding ticket or, you know, ticket for passing on a yellow line or maybe involved in a wreck. Came to the conclusion that that minute and a half was worth a whole bunch of added insurance premiums and stuff like that. That sort of taught me a lesson there. And then my wife and I had been down to visit her parents, and the weekend that we were coming home was the weekend that the North Carolina National Guard was on their way to summer camp. And they had their convoy all spaced out to where you could pass them, you know, when it was appropriate to pass and free and clear and all that. They did a really good job. And I had a Plymouth Barracuda, which in 1965, that thing had a, I think it was 235 horsepower engine, a V8 engine with a Carter AFB carburetor on it. And it would move out pretty good. And it had a stock muffler that they only had it for 1 year. But that thing had a real nice growl to it. And I was getting ready to pass this Jeep, not paying much attention to what was in the Jeep, and I stuck that thing up third gear and got on it, pulled out and passed the guy, and, you know, pulled back in front of him, got in my space. Looked up in the rearview mirror, and I don't know what kind of weapon that Jeep had on it. I think it was a 20-millimeter recoilless rifle, but anyway, the barrel of that thing was dropped down in a little notch in the windshield. And in my rearview mirror, it looked like that thing was pointed right straight at me. And I think the driver of the Jeep must have noticed my reaction or something. He just held his hand up and waved at me and smiled. So, anyway, that sort of taught me, be a little bit cooler on the road. KJ4WZM, KC4EZN.
Normally, I tend to be a really patient person on the road. I know that a lot of people on the road don't have a lot of experience and don't really care to be on there anyway. They just feel like they have to be on the road, and it's kind of difficult to separate them from their mobile device. And I've kind of just accepted that fact for the most part. I won't get too much into it, but I was on 85 for an extended period of several miles, a long stretch of 85 in South Carolina, and for more than half of my trip, it seemed like I had a guy who was in front of me. I was in the center lane. He was pulling one of those air-conditioned horse trailers, and he was traveling at about 50 to 55 while all the traffic in the other lanes was going around 70 in the right-hand lane with 18-wheelers and around 80 to 85 with passenger cars in the left lane. Traffic was heavy, but it was moving very, very fast. And this is the only time that day that traffic was actually moving fast. After that, 85 was just at a standstill all day. But any time I went to pass this vehicle that was pulling the horse trailer, just my truck. It didn't matter if it was any other people's trucks going by. It was fine. And I wasn't tailgating him or being rude. But anytime I wanted to pass him, he'd speed up to 80 to keep me from getting around his truck. And I don't know what it was that he had a problem with, but he would speed up. And I didn't reach 80, but he'd purposely speed up and gain 25, 30 miles an hour past what he was doing until I came up on more trucks in the right-hand lane. That I couldn't get around, and then I had to duck back in behind him, and he dropped down to 50 again. Eventually, I finally did get out from around him, but that's what was very frustrating to me. And he'd slow down and slow down and slow down, 50 to 55, and everybody else, there's a huge speed differential going on. It's not like people are creeping past. Everybody is racing past, and they're racing up towards me from behind and everything, and getting upset. Lane is technically the left-hand lane for trucks. He shouldn't have been in that lane, especially holding the traffic up. But that's what was difficult for me, because here I am technically sitting in the truck left lane, and I'm going way slower than everybody else.
because this guy is playing games with me, and I hated that.
I might have lost my cool there at all. At least please beat the horn at him or something and all. Anyway, there's not much you can do about that, I think, but just be patient. Another little thought, sit down sometime with somebody that understands about energy. And you said you were pulling 78,000 pounds. That mean that your rig was running, what, 85,000 pounds total weight?
Weight combined between my load and the truck. The truck weighs 32 empty. So I was carrying 46,000 on me. So that my load was more than the truck was.
Well, sometimes sit down and get somebody to calculate the kinetic energy that that 78,000 pounds doing 50, 60, 70 miles an hour, and then figure out if you had to rump that on the brakes, how long would it take you to get that truck stopped? And then realize that the guy that was in front of you, being maybe a lighter weight vehicle, could stop faster than you could. And that's what he needs to be thinking about. I know I'm always real careful when I pull in front of a big rig like that to always be accelerating when I pull in front of the truck to, you know, let him know that I'm not going to slow down and put a little space and... I don't know. I just think it's the polite thing to do. And then, you know, eventually you come back down to the speed limit. But still, because I realize that I can get on my brakes and stop in a shorter distance than that truck and its load can stop, which basically means I'm going to be a greasy spot under that truck. That's the way I look at it. And it kind of makes me think twice before I do something dumb. It's not that I'm being ugly to the driver, I'm just being stupid, and I don't really like to pay for that. I'd a whole lot rather be stupid and not have my antenna hooked to the radio as to be run over and it be my fault. Anyway, we'll bounce it back to you tonight, Daniel. I've been having some fun with this, and check that other guy and see if he's still awake. I'll give you permission right now. If you need to take a nap tomorrow, go for it. KJ4WZM, KC4EZM.
Sounds good, Harry. And yes, knowing how much energy is involved with that truck rolling is one of the things that bothered me about the truck in front of me driving. I had plenty of following distance in between me and him where I could slow down safely if traffic was to stand still in front of me or whatever, but if he was to attempt to brake check the truck, that would be very, very difficult because you normally get brake checked at speeds well below 60 miles an hour. And normally, to me, I've been brake checked on the road, but it's normally been on 45 mile an hour roads. Intentional, malicious brake checking, that is. It doesn't happen to me much on the interstate. But if he was to pull a shenanigan like that, I'm not sure how quickly my truck would have stopped because I haven't had to aggressively stop from that speed before fully loaded. So a little bit of inexperience on my part there, I suppose. But as much weight as what was on the truck, I weighed the same amount as 24 cars, which also makes it difficult if you go to pass a vehicle like that one, because even though I might be able to build up my speed enough to be able to get around him, even though I believe he was probably carrying horses in that thing because of the way his vehicle reacted on the road, he could still accelerate faster than I could, so he had the upper hand in preventing me getting around his truck. Eventually, I was able to get around it. When I got him blocked in by somebody else, I was able to get out from around him, and that was the last I saw of him. He followed me for a while trying to get around, but he couldn't get up enough speed to get around my truck at that point. But I finally did get away from him, which is nice. I had the last 20 or so miles of 85 in peace and quiet, but that was probably the most frustrated I've been on 85 in a while. The rest of the day was spent sitting in traffic, hardly moving at all.
And that's much more predictable. Not fun, but much more predictable, and you can't really get mad at that point because everybody's doing 5 miles an hour. Yeah. At least there's not a 30-mile-an-hour speed differential between you and the vehicles on either side of you. That's dangerous. Not knowing what's going to come up behind you either, that's not fun right there. It's very scary, especially 25 miles in a row like that. Horrible. But anyways, yeah, I'll have to get me a nap tomorrow. I think I had a long week, probably about 70 hours of work, so I'm tired at this point. But good talking to you, Harry, and we'll catch you later on down the log. KC4EZN, KJ4WZM.
KC4EZN.
For check-ins or comments, call KJ4WZM.
WZM, this is WD8RON. Listening to your comments about driving particularly large trucks, I have two questions. I was taught years ago that when a truck is ahead of me enough to go back into the right-hand lane and has passed me, I blink my lights. Is that still understood as he's got enough distance to go in?
And I normally blink my lights back when somebody lets me in like that.
Because I don't see it that often. And used to, the truckers would blink their taillights at me, but I see that very seldom now.
About a four does it now, when another truck lets them in, and hardly anybody acknowledges when a car does it. I do, but I'm one of very, very, very few. I also have my radio on all the time in case there's a traffic jam and somebody wants to make mention of it. That way I can be prepared. But most people these days, there used to be an old school truck etiquette, and I was actually taught that by a bunch of old school drivers, but hardly anybody with the old school mentality is still left on the road anymore. So nobody blinks their lights, nobody gets on the radio, no one waves, no one stops to help another truck, no one even gets on their CB, and when the truck is on the side of the road that looks broke down, no one gets on and asks if the driver's okay or needs anything, nothing. People even used to get over when there was a semi on the side of the road broke down, and now a good many of those drivers, they'll clip straight on past at 70, 75 miles an hour with 3 foot of room between their truck and the other truck on the side of the road. They won't even get over even if they can. So I have my own opinions about that, and I better stop while I'm ahead. But a lot of the mentality that I looked forward to sharing the road with is no longer there at all. So, yes. WD8RON, KJ4WZM.
Sometimes I've been behind trucks, and I can see their brakes smoking or something else going wrong with the truck, and I need to warn the driver. I'm never sure how to do that.
I'm not sure either. I know I was on a motorcycle one time and was traveling beside a truck as it came down Highway 25 from North Carolina to South Carolina, and he smoked his brakes up something terrible. And it was a fairly young driver. He may have even been younger than me. And I tried to get his attention for several miles about what was going on. He didn't pay any attention. He finally got stopped at the traffic light as he entered Traveler's Rest, the one by Sphinx on Highway 25. He finally stopped there. And I got him to roll down his window and explained that he had heated his brakes up really, really hot. And I even told him to next time he comes down the mountain to downshift an engine brake, and he shrugged it off. I said, hey man, look, I drive 18 wheelers and know how to keep this from happening. It ain't my truck.
Just think they know everything and aren't willing to take a notice. I used to travel with a CB. I don't anymore. I guess maybe I might start doing that.
I need to put one in my vehicle. I would like to put one in. I haven't done it yet. You can do that, but also hardly any of the 18-wheelers even run CBs anymore, so you might hire somebody to warn them about what's going on, but I'm not sure that they'll get back to you anymore, so I don't want you to feel disappointed about that. Just a little bit of a heads up about that. I try to let people know when there's DOT or when there's a traffic jam or whatever, and nobody seems to turn their radio on until after they see the trouble.
you or someone else was talking about, there is a system on the cell phones that basically operates like the CB.
He's WAVE. People use that to mark cops and stuff like that. I don't actually run that. I don't like to have a screen in front of me while I'm driving. Unless it's 100% dedicated to only navigation or something like that. I don't want to see text messages crossing my screen or anything like that. So that's why I don't run it, because the only screen I have is my phone. I don't have a dedicated device to run a program like that. And although most people wouldn't care about running their phone and seeing the messages come across the screen, I would rather not. I will talk on my phone using a Bluetooth headset, but other than that, I don't want to see the screen while I'm driving. But some drivers do run Waze, and that's fairly good. People do use that. They'll flag cops and accidents and things like that. But it does take time, too, and not everybody runs it. It takes more time, for instance, to type in that an accident just occurred than to get on the CB radio and key up the microphone and let somebody know. But then again, not a lot of people use CB anymore, which is what I have found out recently.
This was almost like turning the phones into a CB system where you could talk on it like on a handy talkie or something like that, and everybody could hear. I checked into the price, though, and it was something like $7,000 to join.
Not before. That's crazy. I don't know anything about that. Never heard of it.
Know the name of it.
A lot of people on it either at that price. I don't think very many people are going to justify that in their minds.
Tucker's mentioned it when I looked up, because I thought it was kind of interesting. The price was just prohibitive.
I don't know anything about it, but now that you've mentioned it, I'll keep my ears open, and I'm sure eventually I will. I'm sure someone's going to talk about it at some point. Thanks for letting me know about that. I didn't know.
Answer my questions. I'll let you turn back to the net.
Good. The next station that I'm about to call, he's another driver who happens to share a lot of the same stretches of road all day that I do. And if you have any questions, he's another great one to ask. So his name is Shane. He's next. I'm going to call him for comments here in just a second. But if you want to ask him some of the same questions, he might know some answers as well, or give more insight than what I was able to give you on that. Jim, go ahead, comment.
Question for DWA-RON. You were talking about flashing your lights at the trucker that just passed you. Or you mean flashing your bright lights or turning your lights off? There's a big difference between the two to that driver.
I run with my headlights on, so I'll flash the high beams a couple of times at him.
I mean, a reason why you're not getting a response from the driver, when a truck is passing you and you flash your bright lights at them, they're normally looking at your headlights. So at night time, when you flash your bright lights at the truck driver that just passed you, you're blinding him with, because he's watching the headlights in his mirror. It's not so bad during the day, but at night, then you start to fire at me when I'm passing by. I'm trying to judge the distance, watching their headlights and my back bumper, which is 60 feet behind me. And they blind me, thinking they're doing me a favor. If you notice, when all the big trucks pass each other, most of them, they'll turn their headlights off for a second and then back on. That's actually the proper way of doing it.
Tell me that. That's the first time anybody ever told me that. I'll normally let them get plenty of distance ahead of me before I will flash lights at them.
As not so bad during the daytime, but getting flashed with bright lights at nighttime while you're looking at those lights to judge the distance, it can be pretty disturbing.
Correct about that. By the way, I was going to mention that, but I didn't. I wasn't sure if I wanted to or not. But a lot of times, the trucks will flash their lights, either turn their headlights on and off in the daytime, or sometimes they'll flick their highs. But at night, especially at night, they usually kill their headlights for a split second, turn the lights off, and then back on to let the truck over. But that's normal. That's especially done at night. Like Chris mentioned, it makes it very difficult if you're looking in your mirror, because when you look forwards again and you're trying to see if there's any debris or animals in the road, all you see is two what looks like kind of dull blue blobs in front of you where the headlights hit your mirror when you were looking at them. It makes it difficult.
All right, that's all I had. Back to you.
Well, I appreciate you telling me that. Nobody had ever told me that before. I've always tried to help out the drivers by flashing the lights, but from now on, I'll be more careful.
Chris, KF4QLG, have you driven 18-wheelers and things? How did you know that?
That's a farmer that I used to drive over the road, coast to coast. And you were talking about the speed differentials between the vehicles. If you ever drove in California, you'll know that trucks are limited to 55 miles an hour, even when the cars are doing 80 miles an hour in the same lanes as the trucks, zipping all around you while you're strapped down to that 55 mile an hour speed limit. And those California cops, they enforce that too. It's like one of the states that has the most trucks in it don't like truckers at all, seems like.
Absolutely. That is, California is the number one state on my list to avoid. I don't want any part of California. I would rather never, ever, ever drive a commercial vehicle in California. I don't want to go through that state in a truck. Haven't yet, and I'd really not like to. I don't think I could make it through without getting a ticket.
It's difficult sometimes. I had a wreck out in California coming off 405, and it wasn't my fault. But it had to do with that speed differential. I'll skip the details because it could get pretty lengthy, but it's just one of those states. If you're delivering in L.A., that's a bad delivery. But up and down the coast picking up a lot of produce, it's not that bad. They look a little bit different on the truckers, those places where you're picking up at. But it seems like the state itself is just not trucker-friendly. Even the roads, you drive somewhere in, like Phoenix, Arizona, and the lanes are wide, turns are easy to make. You got plenty of room, and in California, you take an exit to a truck stop and drag your trailer wheels over the curb because the curve is too sharp for a big truck to handle. And there's truck stops are limited on the space out there too. They can only get so many trucks in their parking lot. And a lot of times you're looking for a place to sleep. There ain't no room in the truck stops. You have to park on the on-ramp or off-ramp, and they don't like that either.
Something in the Northeast when I was running up there a lot. I ran the Northeast for about 6 months, and that was enough for me. None of their roads are set up very good for trucks. Their truck stops are really crowded. You finally get there, and it's 20 degrees outside, but it's New York, and no engine idle, and you don't have an APU. So you got two choices, be cold or
let your engine idle and risk getting a ticket, waking up to a knock, 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 knock on your door. Not trucker-friendly states up there, either. I'm sure you're very well aware of that, too, since you know about California so well.
Or to the west coast, and I did avoid the northeast as much as I could, but there was a time or two I had to go up there, and you're right, you're 100% right about the roads not set up for trucks.
I didn't particularly enjoy it up there, especially around the major cities, anywhere near those metro areas within an hour or hour and a half of the major, major cities. It's just very difficult. And even some of the exits are so tight that you go up to an exit and it will literally say, no trucks this exit, truck detour next exit. And it's a real head scratch. It's like, wait, what? And then you look at the concrete wall and you see tire tracks and scrapes into the concrete where trucks have attempted to take that exit before and gotten stuck. And it's like, ooh, okay. But I found that all up in the Northeast. That's horrible, along with the tolls. All that money for their road infrastructure coming in on tolls, and they can't even make it so that an 18-wheeler can exit.
With another question. So I've always wondered why do people leave their diesel truck running when they go into a rest stop or whatever else. It looks like that would be a waste of fuel.
Yes and no. So in the Northeast, it's very, 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 very cold at night. In the Southeast, it's very, 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 very hot, especially in the daytime. There's a device called an auxiliary power unit that a lot of newer trucks come with, but very few old trucks have them, where it self-regulates the battery voltage. Some of them regulate the engine block temperature and also regulate the temperature inside the cabin of the truck. Truck drivers have to sleep in their truck, otherwise every hotel around would be fully booked nonstop. So if it is 15 below zero with a 30-mile-an-hour wind, which is a very, very, very normal temperature for in the Northeast at any point in the winter, it would be deadly to sleep in your truck without heat. No amount of blankets is going to keep you warm. So if you don't have an APU in your truck to keep the heat up in the cab, you have to leave your engine running overnight. You burn about a gallon an hour at most. So if you leave your truck idling for 8 hours while you sleep, that's 8 gallons. Fuel right now is about $5 a gallon, so that's $40 for overnight. But a hotel up there would cost probably about $200.
That's what I always wondered, because go by a truck stop and all the engines are running, and I couldn't figure out why, but now I understand.
For central heating and air.
That's a lot cheaper than a motel room.
Sure is.
So, people who work for automotive, I'm going to ask them about it next time I talk to them. Say, why don't they build in something that would be a little more efficient as far as heating the inside of the cabs?
It might burn a gallon a night. All that does is supply heating and air conditioning to the cabin of the truck, and it is, when the voltage drops too low as well, or the engine gets too cold, it'll start the engine to keep the engine warm, to bring the batteries back up to temperature. Some of them have, some trucks might have heat in the fuel tank too, if you run up in the Northeast a lot, to keep the fuel from gelling up. So there's these units, auxiliary power units, that are fairly efficient, a whole lot more efficient than idling a 15-liter diesel engine at least. And that might cost a couple $1,000s, but you'll make that up in no time with fuel cost. So that is a that's a solution there, but not every truck's got them.
I mean, very many years ago, 60 or 70 years ago, my grandfather had a pickup. Don't recall whether it was a Ford or Chevy, but that was before they had really built-in heaters. And he had a little, I guess, aftermarket heater that burned gasoline down in the front boot, and that's how he heated the truck.
I have an uncle who lives in Canada, and he has a block heater for his truck. He took a heating element out of, I don't remember what appliance it was. It may have been a coffee maker or a hot water heater or something. I can't remember, but he took a heating element out of an appliance and rigged up a plug in his engine block. He cut a hole in there, screwed it in there in the oil pan. It has an extension cord run out to it in the wintertime, so he plugs his car in at night, and that's how it stays warm. That way he can start it in the morning. It keeps the oil up to temperature.
Now I have a plug for a block heater, and some places they're required, some not, but you can get it as an accessory, and you plug that in, and it heats the coolant and keeps it going, so when you get in the morning, start the engine, but makes it easier to start also, but you also have instant heat. As long as you realize it's plugged in and you don't start backing up and jerk the plug out.
That's pretty neat. I've never ever owned a vehicle that had a built-in block heater. Everything I've owned is almost as old or older than me. So I don't have anything like that, but that would be very, very nice to hop into in the morning and have instant heat.
Could install one for you.
All right, I'm going to make another call real quick to see if I've got any more check-ins or comments for the net. So if y'all would stand by, give me 1 second. Later comments, call KJ4WZM. Okay, let's see. I'll go ahead and call for Shane real quick and see if he's still around. N4ZLK, KJ4WZM, you still in here, Shane? I'll make one, this is my last call before I type up my net report. Haven't missed anyone for check-ins or comments. I've got 49 check-ins right now. Haven't missed anyone for check-ins or comments. Call KJ4WZM. Steps it up for my check-ins. Stand by, I'll go ahead and type up my net report, but I'm still going to be in here for a few minutes if y'all want to hang around. What did you drive for?
Joe and Jane. I drove 2 years the first go around, and about 4 years the second go around.
That's nice. What's the most recent year you drove?
That would take a few minutes for me to gather up an answer on that one. I would say probably the last year I drove would have been around 2001.
A lot has changed back then, from back then to now. Did they have APUs back then, or did everybody just idle their truck?
Everybody just idled them. Now, before I stopped driving that last time, they were starting to, California was the first state to do it, but you drive into a truck stop, roll down your window, and hook up an air duct to your cab. I never did that, but they were just getting started with that setup when I left the trucking industry.
And when I entered it, there were almost all of those had been removed. I've only seen one still up and running. And that was in Madison, Mississippi, was the very last one that I've seen up and running. That's the only one I've still seen running. But pretty much everybody else has APUs now. And all through the Northeast, they had already taken all those out. It's no idle truck stops with no amenities like that for the trucks, which is horrible, especially when a blizzard comes through, although I don't think DOT messes with trucks during that time. I think they have a little bit of common sense.
But when a blizzard comes through and it's technically a no-idle state and the temperatures plummet afterwards and all the high winds come through, you're snowed in, you can't go anywhere, travel bans and all that, and you can't idle your truck, that's stupid.